I'm going to read the chapter in its entirety, and then we'll see what there is. Ruth, chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. Thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Then she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. She came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, turned himself. Behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman well. Let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do that part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. She lay at his feet until the morning. She rose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee. Hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, laid it on her, and she went unto the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then she said, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he finish this thing this day. And may the Lord's blessings rest upon the reading of this portion of his word. Difficult chapter in some respects, others not so difficult. I'll call your attention to the 11th verse before we begin this study. Boaz says, Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. The word virtuous is more or less arbitrary translation. The Hebrew word means far more than that. Virtuous is included. Now notice, Ruth had been living in the city for some time. Naomi and the family of Elimelech were an honorable family and a well-known family. Ruth, a beautiful Moabitess, a widow, had left her home, her people, her God, and had come to make her home with Naomi. She'd been seen gleaning in the fields of Boaz. She'd been in the company with the maidens, another of the young people that were gleaning in the fields. She was known. Now, virtuous, we usually think of morality when we hear the word virtue, but it means far more than that. The Hebrew word can be translated, they know that thou art a capable woman. They all know that thou art an influential woman. They all know that thou art genteel, a woman of faculty, a woman of wealth, affluent. Your reputation is known throughout the whole of this city. And that they know that you are a woman that commands her respect of all with whom she comes in contact. Now, nothing we want to establish in our mind, and that is the law of Moses. Look in Leviticus 25 for just a moment. Verse 47. If a sojourner or a stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother dwelleth by him, that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family. Here's a rich person, and here's a poor person. The poor person is so involved in debt that he cannot pay his debts. They're ready to take him to prison for his indebtedness. He sells himself as a bond slave to the rich man. And sometimes the period of the sale is of short duration. Sometimes it is for life. They're called bondsmen. You remember in the story of Philemon, Paul meeting with Onesimus in prison while he was in Rome, learning from Onesimus that he had fled from the household of Philemon because Onesimus was a bondsman of Philemon. Onesimus, in his contact with Paul, came to know the Lord as his Savior. And after he was saved, Paul convinced him that he should return back to Philemon and serve out his period of bondsman. The interesting thing to me was that as Paul wrote to Philemon, Paul said to Philemon, now, Onesimus, is twofold a brother of thine. Not only is he your brother in the flesh, but now he's your brother in the spirit. This brings out the fact that Philemon and Onesimus were blood brothers. And Onesimus had sold himself as a bondsman to Philemon. And then I remembered, I have known some families where one member of the family is exceeding wealthy, others had none of this world's goods, whatever. But Onesimus was a bondsman of Philemon, and here he's telling about how that starts. Now we read 48, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him, or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin to him of his family may redeem him. If he be able, he may redeem him. So, there we have the story of redemption. Then again, we read that if a man dies childless, the nearest of kin to the deceased shall marry the widow and rear up children to his dead brother's name. You recall it was that law that caused some of the Pharisees to question the Lord concerning the resurrection. They posed this question. Suppose a man dies and leaves a widow, and then his brother marries her, and then he dies, and then the next brother marries her, and he dies, and the next one marries, and he dies, until all seven of them married her. In the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? To which our Lord replied, you do err. 2 points. One of them, you know not God, you know not the Word of God. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. And so the law was that if one died and left a widow, two things. She was to be redeemed, and the property would be redeemed by the purchase, and second, her widowhood was to be terminated by marriage. So that we have two things in the law for Ruth. She's to be redeemed, and she's to get a husband. Now, manifestly, Naomi had taught Ruth the law, and Ruth knew the law. Boaz, she said, was the nearest of kin. Now, the law is already established. And Ruth is to take such steps as are provided by the law for her redemption and for marriage. Under the law. Now, another thing to which I want to call your attention. The King James translates the shawl or the mantle worn by the men in those days. King James translates it skirt. Literally, it was a mantle, comparable to, but evidently not like, the poncho those south of the border wear. A big garment, square garment with a hole in the middle, pull over, the head sticks out and it protects them. At night, they use it to cover with and many other things. And that's what Boaz had, and he covered himself with it, with the mantle. Look at the 91st Psalm. We have an expression there that gives a little light as to the significance of the mantle. The 91st Psalm and the first verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Most High, or of the Almighty. Other verses speak of, well, in the fourth verse, speak of being under His wings. The protection afforded by God, described as being under His shadow, being under His wings, and the protection afforded by Boaz would be the putting of his mantle over her. It was customary among the Orientals when one redeemed one and took him over, or vouchsafed for his safety and his freedom, he would give him his mantle, he'd wrap the mantle around him, and that the mantle wrapped around him signified to all concerned that he belonged to the one whose was the mantle. And Ruth took of the mantle and covered herself with it, signifying to him that he was to be her husband and he was to take her under his care. Now, let's go back and look at this chapter in its entirety, with the exception of our last two Wednesday evening messages, one on the preparation Ruth made by bathing herself, anointing herself, and putting on her raiment, the second by the winnowing of the barley, or the separation of the wheat from the chaff. When they had finished the threshing of the grain, the separation of the wheat from the chaff, those days, as a general rule, the owner of the grain, and with Boaz, it would be quite a pile of it. Had he gone home and his servants grown careless, thieves could have stolen a great deal of it. But he lay down by the grain. I would judge maybe they threshed till midnight or after. And the servants went to their respective places of abode, but Boaz was going to stay there with it. And he lay down and he threw this mantle of his over him. He's there by the grain and he's watching it. Keep in mind, Boaz typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth typifies the bride of Christ. Boaz lies down. Now, Naomi says, "Shall I seek rest for thee? Shall I seek rest for thee?" She said, "I'm going to seek rest for thee." Some instance here, it seems that Naomi plays a part that would be ascribed to the Holy Spirit. So she instructs Ruth in what to do. He's your near kinsman. He's the one to redeem you, and he's the one to marry you. The time in which they had been there, I'm sure that Naomi had noticed the glances that passed back and forth between Boaz and Ruth. She'd noticed the privileges extended to her that were extended to no one else. She took cognizance of the hands full on purpose. the privilege of gleaning among the sheaves themselves. And she knew that Boaz was in love with her, that is, with Ruth. If Boaz typifies the Lord Jesus Christ and Ruth, the bride of Christ, I'm sure you appreciate the fact that Boaz can go just so far and no farther. Our Lord goes so far and no farther. Our Lord does not coerce. Our Lord does not violate the sovereign will of an individual. If a person wants to go to hell, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit will let him. If he wants to. I've talked to a few individuals who are waiting for the Lord to knock them down. Literally force them into a confession of faith. The Lord wants to be chosen even as he himself chooses. Boaz can do so much. Ruth must take the initiative also in some things. And after she comes to know the identity of Boaz, that he's a near kinsman, he's the Redeemer, and he can be the groom. After you and I know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, after you and I know that he wants us to trust him, to receive him, it's up to us to receive him. And it was up to Ruth to take a step, showing her willingness to go with him and to be identified with him. So Naomi said, you go down to the threshing floor and you just stay out kind of to the side and you watch and observe and you see where he lies down. And when he's laid himself down to sleep, then you go up and lie down at his feet and cover yourself with his mantle. Covering of herself with the mantle showed to Boaz that she expected him to redeem her, and she expected him to marry her. So Ruth does that. There's nothing immoral. This is all customary, confirmed by the Word of God. In the middle of the night, Boaz is startled by something. He awakened with a jump, and he felt something at his feet, and he looked up and he said, who is that? Logical question. Who is that? I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy mantle over thy handmaid, for thou art the near kinsman now. You're the near kinsman. You're the Redeemer. You're to redeem me. And you are to marry me. He says in verse 10, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. He was older than Ruth. The picture seems to be he was somewhat older. The Bible speaks of old age in type as typifying the eternity of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I was meditating upon that today, thinking of that which is old. when the young people object to the rearing and training, the mores, customs of their elders, they think of the elders as old fogies, you know, old squares. And when they think of church and God and the Bible, they think of somebody that's an old fogey. They think of somebody that's a square. Boaz, come in, Ruth. That she did not run off on this youth jag. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set, was the commandment of God to the children of Israel. The old ways, the old paths, the tried paths are the best. We used to sing a song of the old time religion. Good enough for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me, the song used to say. I heard a dear old saint telling that one day about the King James Version. She said it's good enough for Paul and Silas, and it's good enough for her. And so she's going to stand by it, and she did the thing. But he said, I commend you, that you didn't run off after these rich young men, or these poor young men, as the case might be. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Have you ever felt or heard in your heart or in your mind the Lord saying, fear not, I'll keep thee, thou shalt never perish? Fear not. He that hath begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion and to perfection. Ruth, don't worry for a minute. I will do everything that the law requires. I'll redeem you and I will marry you. There it is. Verse 11, just by way of review. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a woman of some stature in every relation of human life and experience. And now it is true, I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Some difficulty attaches after that verse. Some think that this kinsman nearer than he is the typical of the Antichrist. Some think he's typical of the flesh, of the world, of the devil. Well, we have that carnal nature and we have that spiritual nature. Boaz typifies the spiritual nature, and I think this nearest of kinsmen typifies the carnal nature. And when we're saved, we have the carnal nature and the spiritual nature, both striving for the ascendancy. But the carnal must yield to the spiritual ultimately. Now, you tarry tonight. You just take it easy. It shall be in the morning that he will not perform unto thee the part of a kinsman. Well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he'll not do the part of a kinsman, if he'll not redeem you, if he'll not marry you, then will I do the part of a kinsman near to thee, as the Lord liveth. Now lie down till morning. She took her place again at the feet of Boaz, covered with the mantle, possibly wrapped in his mantle. Look in the 15th verse. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee. Close study of that reveals that this veil is the mantle that he put upon her. You bring the mantle that is upon thee. It's still upon her. Still acknowledging her. It's his mantle. It's around her. We'll come to that in just a moment. But here in the 14th verse, she lay at his feet until morning. And she rose up before one could know another. Evidently, that was before dawn. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Boaz was discreet. And I think it reveals something else. The dealings between Boaz and Ruth were between them. Nobody else knew, saw, or partook in their dealings. Our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and our salvation are things between us and Him. And nobody else can see, and nobody else can enter into. And nobody else knows anything about it until after it's all over with. Now just let it not be known. Now, he said to her, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee. Bring the mantle that thou hast wrapped around you and hold it. It's got to be of heavy material. It's got to be of some size. Well, she held it and he measured 6 measures of barley. You note the word measure is in italics, revealing that it's not in the original Hebrew scripture. For some reason or other, the Lord chose not to reveal what the measure was. Some commentators vainly imagine that it was an ephah, 6 ephahs. But 6 ephahs of grain would weigh right close to 100 pounds. And different measures. The Lord just doesn't say what the measure is, but 6. Bring 6 of the barley. Well, if you want to think of the number 6, recall to your attention that 6 is the number of man. 7 is the number for which God has an affinity. 7 is the number of completion. 7 is the number of perfection. 6 falls short of 7 by 1. That's man's. God works 6 days. The crowning act of creation on the 6th day, the creation of man. Then he rested on the 7th day. God's working 6 days or 6,000 years. And then he's going to rest the 7th day or the 7,000 years. So he gave her 6 measures. And he laid it on her. Now, it was heavy enough that he had to help her put it on her head and shoulders so she could carry it home. And she went into the city. It's just before daybreak. Manifestly, Boaz stayed there for a while, guarding the grain until some of the workmen came out from the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, the mother-in-law said, who art thou, my daughter? Well, didn't she know Ruth? Yes, she knew Ruth. That was a tactful way of asking her, are you Mrs. Boaz? Is Boaz going to redeem you? Is Boaz going to marry you? Who are you? Who are you? Yes. She was betrothed. She was engaged. They were to be married. Who art thou, my daughter? And she didn't say, I'm Ruth, your daughter-in-law. She told her all the man had done to her. Yes. I am the fiancé of Boaz. He's going to redeem me. And he's going to marry me. There it is. And she said, these 6 measures of barley, or these 6 entities of barley, gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Some have tarried on this 17th verse with some good thoughts. Ruth worked all day, gleaning in the field with handfuls of purpose thrown out in front of her, with the privilege of gleaning from the sheaves, and took home an ephah. Here she hadn't worked at all, and she brings home 6 measures. What they are, we know not, but it's more than she had the first time. An emphasis has been placed by some upon the fact that she gathered more by waiting on the Lord than by working. Wait upon the Lord. And again I say, wait upon the Lord. Our lack of patience is manifest. The energy of the flesh has to be doing something. We've got to create an impression upon those around us that we are doing something. He that believeth shall not make haste. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll give you all of these things. Now, she said, sit still, my daughter. Just wait upon the Lord until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. Now, the 4th chapter is going to show us how he finished that thing. Notice what Naomi said. He will not be in rest until he has finished it. Again, that passage of Scripture. He which hath begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion, or to perfection. Now, he started out to save us, to redeem us, and he's not going to stop until it is finished. We have been saved from the penalty of our sins. We, in this day, can be delivered from the power of sin. But he's going to keep on until he will have delivered us from the presence of sin and remove sin from us and us from sin. He's not going to stop until he shall put every enemy underfoot. He's not going to stop until he shall have established his kingdom and his sway from the east to the west and the north to the south. He's not going to stop until he shall be acknowledged by every tongue in the heaven above, in the earth beneath, and in between till every tongue confesses him to be the Christ. He's not going to stop until he has accomplished and fulfilled everything which is spoken of him. He's going to bring to pass the accomplishment and the fulfillment of these things. Sit still, my daughter. Sit still, my daughter. Some of us are like a girl in the University of Texas when I was a student there in the household where I was a babysitter for those twin boys. This girl who was a freshman in the university would run out, jump in the car, and drive down the heart of Austin and back. She drove like Jehu. And her father would say to her every time she'd come in, said, "Well, I noticed you saved 2 minutes on that trip to town and back. Now, what are you going to do with those 2 minutes? Now, what are you going to do with those 2 minutes?" She'd save them. "Well, we run here and there. Now, Ruth, just sit still and wait on the Lord. Now, just sit still, because He will not rest till He has accomplished everything that He's purposed to do." That's what our Lord is doing, and that's what He will do. In many respects, this fourth chapter is as interesting, if not more interesting, than any of the others. Next Wednesday evening, Lord willing, the fourth chapter. Father, bless this meditation to our edification, to Thine honor and glory. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.